And good afternoon, and welcome to a Juno Afternoon here Thursday, and we're welcome you here to the show, and thanks for joining us. We've got a couple of divas already in the studio here today. Dawn Way and Cheryl Crawford, Diva Way and Diva Crawford are here. We're going to be talking about an accounting event coming up from the UAS School of Management today. Ashley Johnston will be here from the Alaskan Brewery talking about Coastal Cleanup Day that's coming up this Saturday. Finances for Seniors will be talking about a workshop happening at Centennial Hall. We'll be talking to Cindy Gibson about that. And Nancy DeCherney will be here for another edition of Arts Up as we head into another busy, busy weekend here in Juneau, which is going to include, of course, Who's Your Diva happening on Saturday, all kinds of events to talk to Nancy about. National Native News is coming up next here on Juneau Afternoon. We'll hear from that right now.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. There are new developments in the battle over a popular fishing area near Sitka, Alaska. The board of a closed college and a Native corporation have filed competing ownership claims. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The site is Redoubt Falls near Sitka, where the Russians built their last capital after colonizing Alaska. The U.S. Forest Service manages the area. It boosts sockeye salmon stocks, which are caught by Sitka's Tlingit tribe and other fishermen. Redoubt is being claimed by the board of Sitka's Sheldon Jackson College. The school closed about 5 years ago, but the panel is managing remaining debts as well as some properties. It's filed a claim for the Redoubt area based on documentation of several land transfers, the final one to the college. Trustees Vice Chairwoman Heather McCarty says the board would continue to allow fishing.
We will not be using ownership of Redoubt to develop or change in any way the current use of the property.
Sea Alaska, a Native corporation with Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian shareholders, filed an earlier claim. Executive Vice President Rick Harris says the trustees' documentation is for long-gone buildings, not land.
Plus, it ignores the historic Tlingit use before Russian occupancy, during Russian occupancy, and then even after Russian occupancy.
Both claims are before the Federal Bureau of Land Management. For National Native News, this is Ed Schoenfeld.
South Dakota's Pine Ridge Reservation is receiving nearly 24 mobile homes from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The homes are going to families displaced by a summer storm. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
The reservation was hit by powerful straight-line winds July 21st. Much of the damage occurred in the small community of Rockyford. Homes suffered roof damage and other destruction. One home was reportedly hit for the third time. Earlier this week, the first of 20 fully furnished mobile homes arrived on the reservation. FEMA is offering the homes to families who had damage in the storms. Oglala Sioux Tribal President John Yellowbird Steele says other units will arrive on the reservation in the next few weeks. He says the goal is to get every family displaced by the July storm in a FEMA home before weather turns colder. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbold.
The Board of Trustees at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill offer a $25,000 reward for information leading to an arrest and the slaying of a 19-year-old student. The body of junior Faith Hedgepeth was found last week in her apartment. Local media outlets are reporting the $25,000 pledge will be added to the reward fund. Her tribe, the Halawasaponi, has also pledged to the fund. Her funeral was held Wednesday. Police are reportedly waiting on a preliminary autopsy to determine how she died. The leader of the National American Indian Housing Council will be featured on the Smiley and West Poverty 2.0 tour. Executive Director Miller Willie is scheduled to speak on the show, which is hosting town hall events in battleground states. The hosts and guests are discussing how to alleviate and end poverty. Willie will visit with television and radio host Tavis Smiley and Princeton professor Cornell West today in Alexandria, Virginia. The poverty tour is being aired on radio stations across the country, including tribal stations. The tour kicked off on Wednesday in Ohio. The show will also tour Florida and Pennsylvania, ending on Saturday.
Do
During this month in 2011, California Governor Jerry Brown established a tribal advisor position to strengthen communication and collaboration between California state and tribes. Brown issued an executive order for the position to serve as a direct link between the governor's office and tribes on issues including legislation, policy, and regulation. Brown signed the order at a tribal alliance meeting in Sacramento, California. Earlier this year, Cynthia Gomez was appointed as advisor. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kowanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
One of the greatest divas of all time, Aretha Franklin there. Amazing, amazing singer. We've got two divas in with me here right now, Dawn Way and Cheryl Crawford. Thanks, Diva Way and Diva Crawford.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Thank you
Thank
very much.
Thank you,
for...
Andy.
Hello, hello.
Thanks so much for joining us here. We've had all these divas coming in all through the week. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun for us hosts here. And now we have you guys as well. Tell me a little bit about how each one of you got involved in the idea of doing this. Why'd you get involved with being a diva?
Well,
for
you,
this, I don't. I mean, maybe you're just. I guess I'm assuming you just are a diva.
Well, I've been
you
told.
Lived a life.
I have been told.
But how about? But for this particular concert.
Well, you know, you have to be asked to be a diva, which is quite an honor. So you can't really say no. And my sponsor is wonderful. I call her my sponsor. She's my biggest fan, Miss Scarlett. So that's how
yes,
I got involved. It was her fault.
I was told that you attended last year, and you were volunteering, weren't you?
Yes, I was. It was fun.
And I heard you said, I want to do that.
Uh-huh. The truth
and
comes
that's
out.
All it takes,
I don't
apparently.
Remember.
So
I
maybe
don't,
that's
I
the
don't,
secret.
I do declare, I do not remember
that's
that.
That's the secret. They need more volunteers.
No,
that is the secret to success.
Well, how about you? Volunteer. How did you get involved in wanting to do this?
I'm just a girl who can't say no.
Just can't say no.
Yeah,
well, I've got now, as you guys know, we have these standard set of questions because for this sold-out event, we should say this is a sold-out event now at Centennial Hall. You guys sold out Centennial.
Woo-hoo,
the
sweet.
Biggest house in town.
I'm not kidding.
You sold
oh
it out. That's great. So
okay.
For this, now everyone, this is a Are friendly competition. It's a friendly competition, right? People have to decide who's their diva, who's
mm-hmm.
the diva they want.
Mm-hmm.
So we're asking all the divas that come in here, this sort of some standard set of questions. So one thing I want to ask is how have you picked out, I'll start with you, Diva Crawford, have you picked out music? What are you going to play?
Oh
you know, have
well,
you
I'm
picked
sure
out
the band
what you're
sure
going to be
I have.
singing? And how did you pick it out? Why did you pick it?
Well, actually, to kind of dovetail with the first question about whatever it was. Anyway, no, I only agreed to do it if I had at least one song in mind, because there is a lot of pressure in being a diva.
It's crazy.
Perhaps you don't know
Tell
that.
Me about it. Yeah, no.
But so I had something in mind, and I am a person. I'm kind of a corporate diva in the sense that I don't like to do things alone. So I have many assistants trying to make me, well, hopefully sound beautiful as well as look beautiful. So
please.
I have a duet partner on one of my songs.
All right.
And the other one, I swear, Miss Scarlett that we refer to, hey, all's we need in our other song is some puppies, and we've got all the things required to get all the votes, I'm telling you.
Well, Dawn, how did you go about getting a song together and figuring out which one you were going to do?
It is really difficult.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, if you don't start early enough, these divas will scrap your songs from you, and they will be doing them, and you won't. So...
sounds like a little bitter diva
yeah.
talk there to me.
That's what we're looking for. Okay. So So in the in, have you guys, have both of you performed a lot before, or quite a bit, or a little bit, that kind of thing? You haven't performed much at all?
No, I haven't.
Really? You mean in public?
Yeah. The shower doesn't count.
Do you have some former performances that you felt like were really exciting or that went well? Or
right. I was in Beauty and the Beast, and that's how I met Miss Diva Cheryl.
Oh, okay.
Here. And that was wonderful, and I've never really been involved in anything like that before, so it was great.
Great.
And being in the back with the chorus was top notch, and now I'm out front, so it's
yeah,
quite
now you're stepping
awkward.
Out
well,
in front.
Not to be, you know, diva naughty or anything. I wouldn't be. Because she rocked the house when she did her song at the JLO recent Broadway Splash Workshop.
She's special.
And I think that just went to show that she deserves to be in this camp.
All right.
She's one hot mama.
Thank you, Miss.
And can you describe an exciting or memorable performance that you had?
Maybe so many of them involve forgetting my words. I don't think that's what we were looking for.
Well, there's also a question here about performances that went bad, so let's save that for that.
Yeah.
But how about ones that were exciting or went well, or just some of your kind of best memories of or performing?
Well, I have really had a lot of opportunities in Juno, which I really appreciate. And I guess memorable, because it was really an honor, was to be in the first cast of King Island Christmas at Perseverance Theater.
Wonderful.
And it was just really exciting to work with David Friedman and Debbie Brevoort and be there. It was a grueling process, trust me. I think you've done stuff at Perseverance or been involved.
Behind the scenes, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's quite impressive to see how much work goes in. Yep.
And then it was a 5-week run and school shows and blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But what was cool is because it was a premiere performance, then they were like rewriting as we were doing it. In fact,
fun.
To give some kudos to my husband, where, you know, the captain arrives and, you know, they get the audience feedback about, you know, could you understand the characters and things clear and all that. And there was some confusion on who was Father Carroll and who was the captain. And so he changed it. And so it says Captain Crawford here. And that's because it's my husband who played the captain.
Uh-huh. So Captain Crawford.
Great.
Very good.
That's great.
A lot of memories.
Okay, how about ones
memories
that haven't gone so well? Do you have some memories of performances or times that haven't gone so well?
Well, since I haven't had very many, it was kibosh right in my high school when I was a princess. And I put that in the Juno Empire. It was ridiculous because we had to do a talent. At the last minute, I decided, no, I'm going to dance. I don't want to sing. And they said, no, you have to sing. So it was horrible. I never recovered from that. And I said, I'll never do anything like that again.
Isn't it funny how that can happen? I mean, it is amazing how long lasting an experience like that can be for people. It
yes.
is. It's like, you know, people, there's people out there who describe public speaking as something they're more afraid of than death. Right?
Wow.
And as Jerry Seinfeld says, that means that if you were at a funeral, you'd rather be in the coffin than giving the eulogy. So, you know, that's an amazing thought.
It's so true.
Well, then, Dawn, this is your therapy.
There you go.
To break free of that.
You know it.
This is your breakthrough moment.
This
How about
is it.
Any performances you can remember not going so well?
So many to choose from.
I don't believe that.
Anybody who went to a JLO high tea has probably remembered me stopping and starting more than once in a song. But, you know,
no.
I'm into the entertainment thing, so you just have to learn to not obsess. I mean, there's plenty of angst and all that, but just go with it. It's a whole lot better if you laugh at yourself, because people usually get in on that versus them seeing you melt into the floor and feeling pain on your behalf.
Well, in this concert and maybe in other ones you've had, you probably get to work with accompanists or other musicians. Is there things that you can think of that you've learned from the accompanists or musicians that you've worked with that carry over to this performance?
Well, I definitely have learned from a few that you need to relax. You need to enjoy it, because just like Cheryl said, if they're watching you squirm, it's not such a good show.
Right.
So, and if they could do better, they'd be upstage.
That's right.
And you wouldn't.
That's right. There it is. See? Mm-hmm. Natural
Your
born diva.
Is coming out, baby. What have I learned? How to sing the right note. That's always important.
That's very important.
Well, would you give it, what kind of advice would you give someone who's thinking about doing this maybe next year? Maybe they're listening.
No, I'm just kidding.
No! You're crazy.
No, it's been great, but it is a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
So be prepared.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I I was asked last year, and I was unable to participate. But one of the things I knew when I personally wanted to do it, because as much fun as it is to be the diva and play that whole thing,
totally.
It really is a fundraiser for JLO. And
yep.
For me, since I've been in Juno now for 30-some years, and I've participated with them a lot, they do all kinds of fabulous things for this town and the arts. And I really wanted to try to do my part on that front as far as the fundraising and have fun in the fundraising. But so I would really hope that even though it's fun to do, that people would really consider that aspect and give it their whole heart on that part, too.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So two divas that you can choose if you're one of the lucky people
that's already gotten. Right here.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Diva
if
Dawn.
You're one
mm-hmm.
of the people that's already gotten one of the sold-out tickets to the Who's Your Diva event that's happening that's happening at Centennial Hall. Isn't it Saturday?
Yeah.
Or is it Friday?
No.
It says Friday
here.
It's
Saturday the 15th.
Saturday.
No, you don't want to come to the dress rehearsal.
Yeah,
be sure to come to the actual performance.
We won't let you in
the real
dress rehearsal.
Thing, yeah. And Don Way and Cheryl Crawford, two of your divas that you have a choice for. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
We're
going
to be talking to Vicki Williams and Julie Hamilton in just a second about an accounting event happening with the UAS School of Management. Money, money. That's what he wants. It's a great tune there by Barrett Strong. We're going to be talking about accounting, money, keeping track of your money with an accounting event that's happening through the UAS School of Management. I got Vicki Williams and Julie Hamilton here with me, both from the UAS School of Management. Thanks to both of you for coming on in the studio and letting me know about this event. So what is going on? What's going to be happening?
Well, I'll go ahead and start.
Yeah,
this
sure, Vicki.
This is Vicki Williams, and we last year had a career night to talk about what people do to become a CPA and what education you have. And this year we've decided to expand that and include more accounting careers. So we're bringing people in from the community who work in different areas of accounting to let our students and the public, everyone's invited, to let them know what type of career opportunities there are and what type of experience or education you need in those fields.
And Julie, you've just joined the UAS faculty from the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation, so I'm sure you have some really great and unique experience to share with people about that exact thing. What sort of different types of schooling is necessary and what might be necessary for different types of careers?
Right. 10.5 years at the Permanent Fund, and before that I was...
So we've got you to thank...
Sure.
For the benefits.
Yeah, for
it's like $10,000 I've made off of you in the past 10 years. It's great. Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not sure what it's going to be this year. Probably not quite as much as last year.
Well, that's on a sliding scale, though, right? It's a five-year average. Is that right?
It's a five-year average of realized income.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't all plummet at once or go up at once. Yeah,
right. We get some income averaging in there, so that helps.
So tell me a little bit about what sort of information advice you'll be giving to people about these kind of career choices and schooling and that kind of thing.
Well, we have several people coming to speak. So we have somebody from the state of Alaska. We have somebody from private industry. Do we want to give out names or keep it a surprise?
Keep it under your hat. You guys decide.
Why don't we go ahead and give out names?
Okay, yeah, okay. Do it. I think so. Let's get a scoop
here.
Maybe
they're listening.
It's a scoop on a Juno afternoon. I love
That's
it.
That's right.
Sure. We've got Melissa Nell coming from Division of Legislative Audit, and another person's coming with her. We've got Pam Day coming from the state of Alaska.
And now, just to interrupt you, this is an interesting part of the life in Juneau, which is that this is kind of a government. It's a company town, and the company is the government. So
right.
It's an interesting thing for people to think about accounting in terms of not necessarily private industry, but maybe government work, right? So that's an interesting kind of focal point that it sounds like might be happening as well.
There are a lot of accountants employed by the state and the city here.
So
we definitely need accountants in that industry of government. We've got Bridget coming from LG Rayfeld to talk about public accounting.
Bridget Lujan, I serve on a board with her. She's wonderful.
Yeah,
she'll be great.
She's a partner with LG Rayfeld Mertz CPAs in town.
Right. We have somebody coming from Sea Alaska, Mark Paulplis. And we've got Don Wolf coming from Gasno Guiding, so tourism industry. And Vicki and I will talk about our experiences we've had in accounting.
Do you see that now? Does the School of Accounting try to do this kind of reach out to members of the community a lot? Or, you know, you sometimes think about universities as you've got your students, you've got your curriculum, you're worried about that. And I think that UAS really does this great community service of reaching out to people a lot. What are some of the things that people think about accounting? Like, you know, like as a common person, I think, oh, accounting, that's for those number crunchers, or you know what I mean? So what are some of the misperceptions or perceptions people have about accounting that you try to talk about during some of these forums?
Well, I think one of the misconceptions about accountants is that we have no personality and
we just sit in
our office, and we're actually a fun group of people. We like to have fun doing accounting, and that's really what we try to pass on to our students. And we interact a lot with the community. There's a huge need in Juneau, throughout Southeast Alaska, and the state of Alaska for good accountants. And so we have businesses contact us. We work a lot with employers on internship opportunities. Internship opportunities are a great way for an organization, whether it be state of Alaska, a CPA firm, private industry, to have a student in while they're taking their classes. The student can see the industry, the student can see the firm, decide if that's where they'd like to go longer term. The organization can see, it's sort of like a test drive. And they can see, does this person work well with our organization? And we've worked with organizations over the last few years to increase the internship opportunities for our students.
Tell me a little bit just about some of the facts and figures about the actual event. When's it happening? Where is it happening? That kind of stuff. How can people find out about it and if it might be right for them?
Okay. Well, we're going to be next Thursday night, September 20th at 7 p.m. in our Egan Library out at the UAS campus. We're going to be in what we call our media room. It's in the Library Room 104, and if you don't know where that is, you can just ask at the desk when you come into the library. It's basically our TV broadcasting studio, so anyone can come and join there live. We're also going to be streaming it over the internet on UATV, which you can go to the UAS website and look for a link to UATV and listen live. We'll also be on the cable TV here in Juneau, the channel that you see lectures from the university on, which I believe is cable channel 18. And that will be live broadcast 7 to 8 p.m. next Thursday evening. So we're looking for people throughout the whole state. We've invited all our students throughout the whole state. We're going to be putting up signs so people from the community can come. We're inviting students from the two high school classes. Each high school has an accounting class, and we reach out to those accounting classes.
Is there a particular idea behind the entire event? Is there some sort of goal of the entire event that you're trying to reach?
I think we're just trying to reach out to possible students that might have an interest in accounting or are not really sure, and they're not aware of all the possibilities. I mean, this state and the city, we need good accountants, and so we want them to come to our program and see what it's about and take some classes. And there's different levels of degrees they can get. They can get certificates and certain endorsements, accounting endorsements, but they can also get their full bachelor's degree in accounting. So,
does it happen through UAS that people kind of reach an accounting degree through a non-traditional way, like they did something else entirely different in a career and just got an interest in this? Does that happen? Is that sort of
definitely.
Thing that comes?
Yeah? Yes, definitely. This might be their second or third career.
Is that right?
But,
yeah.
And we have some older students. We have a lot of students who just do online courses because we have some great online interactive courses that they can take in accounting and business in general.
I mean, I can see if someone's running a small business, that kind of thing, getting more and more interested in seeing the value more and more of, I really need to get a handle on this accounting thing, you know, make sure that I'm doing this right and understand what's behind all the numbers and that sort of thing. Well, that's terrific. So you're looking for people who might have a real particular interest or people just maybe never thought of it before.
Exactly. It's an opportunity to explore what accounting is like. The people from the different industries will explain what you might do in their business and how accounting helps. And it's to try to encourage people to go into accounting. Accounting is a phenomenal field.
Yeah, amazing. Well, thanks so much, you guys, for coming in. I really appreciate it. That's Vicki Williams and Julie Hamilton from the UAS School of Management. The accounting event is happening once again. It's happening Thursday night. Is that right?
Next Thursday night, 7 p.m., Egan Library.
At the Egan Library down in the media room. And you can just ask at the front desk there of the Egan Library if you get lost. You don't know where the media room is, go down there and ask them. Vicki and Julie, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having
coming
us.
Up next, we're going to be talking to Ashley Johnston about the Coastal Cleanup Day.
Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. God's mother, radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are nice. Mercy, mercy, me. Mercy, all things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?
Mercy me, the ecology. We're going to be talking to Ashley Johnston about what you can do to clean up the ecology here in Juneau, your small part. And a great program that the brewery heads up every year through the Coastal Code. Rest of today is going to be rain and heavy at times. Highs around 52 degrees. But I don't even have to do this forecast. I tell you, just rain. You know it already. It's going to rain tonight, tomorrow night. Saturday, cloudy with just a chance of rain and highs around 51 degrees. So that's the Coastal Cleanup Day. And Ashley, I see you doing a fist pump there. That's going to be good for Coastal Cleanup Day, huh?
Well, anything less than what's going on right now would be great.
Yes, anything less. It's absolutely true. Ashley Johnston from the Alaskan Brewery and from the Coastal Code, right, is the name of the organization,
yep.
Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that is an organization that's funded. Tell me how the funding for Coastal Code happens and how you guys organize that.
Sure. The Coastal Code is a nonprofit initiative that the brewery created in 2007 with the launch of our oh-so-delicious Alaskan IPA.
And you can do – I want to give people an example of just exactly how they can contribute to the Coastal Code. That jingling you hear is the jingling of Ashley's keys that have a convenient bottle opener on them. And I'm holding a bottle of India Pale Ale, Alaskan India Pale Ale, in the bright green label with the surfer on there from Yakutat. And if you do this.
Nice.
I won't drink on there. But if you do that and open up an IPA, you have just contributed to the Coastal Code because is it what is the percentage
that's right,
that
1%
goes in?
1% of proceeds from all Alaskan IPA sales and all of our markets go to the Coastal Code Fund, where we've allocate those funds to nonprofit groups all over the 14 states where we distribute for beach cleanups. Beach can be like a riverbank or the beach of a lake or a watershed. Anyways,
shoreline.
Shoreline,
sort of,
exactly.
Yeah, right.
Get out there and kind of clean up our own backyard. Here in Juneau, obviously, we rely on the Gastineau Channel and the ocean for everything, work, play, transportation. It connects us to the rest of the world. So that's why, you know, we're kind of trying to do our part to give back to that. That has given us so much.
Yeah, it's a fantastic, it's just a wonderful organization, and it's a great thing that happens. And then, of course, yearly you have this day, the Coastal Cleanup Day, and that's built off of a national day, is that right?
International, actually.
Okay.
The Ocean Conservancy and NOAA have organized International Coastal Cleanup Day for 27 years. So since 1989, they've been coordinating this massive cleanup in 150 countries over the last 27 years. Over 9 million people have participated. But it's what makes it different, other than the fact that it's one day that everyone's getting out there, is the data collection. So they're asking all of these people the same questions about what they're picking up, where they're finding it, so they can look at this data and find ways to prevent it and to help better monitor and clean it up for
the
future.
Are there particular types of pollution, particular types of things that the Coastal Code looks at trying to eradicate?
The data kind of tells us where to go. So here in Alaska, we have a lot of fishing-related debris. So groups like the Marine Conservation Alliance Foundation, who's a repeat grantee of the Coastal Code, but they look at what kind of fishing, what kind of netting and floats and that kind of thing are washing up, so that they can work with the fishermen specifically, you know, telling them why it's so important to hold on to that. We actually up here see a
now
lot.
Now that's great. I just want you to now that's a piece of this I hadn't put together.
Yeah.
The Coastal Code is not only doing this cleanup, but then circling back around and saying, what could we do to prevent this cleanup? What kind of education could happen? What kind of different gear could be used?
Yeah.
Different products, that kind of thing that could actually help lower the amount of the stuff we're cleaning up on the beaches.
And I have to give credit. That's actually – we provide the funds to the expert. That's what Coastal Code does. But it's actually in Alaska, it's the Marine Conservation Alliance that's doing that good work. We just help support it because we're going to defer to them. But then in other areas like down in San Francisco, there's a great group called Heal the Bay that found that plastic bags were the number one thing that they found. So they have since then banned plastic bags in their municipality to eradicate that problem because they had the data to support it.
Yeah, fascinating. And, mm-hmm. I think that the Coastal Code part shows this one piece of the environmental damage that's being done. Of course, we've heard so much about all the pollution that's happening out in the deep sea and in the oceans and that sort of thing as well. And that's, I think, plastic bags and sea turtles and all the kind of stuff that gets involved there with that kind of but it's really fascinating to me that you take that extra step. It's great to know that not only is it part of just cleaning up and beautifying our town,
right,
which is all very great and but easy for us to sort of say, it's going to make our beaches prettier,
right,
but to circle back around and say, but how can we actually prevent this from happening in the future?
Well, and what's crazy right now is all of the tsunami debris that's washing up. It really kind of showcases the global issue of marine debris and how, you can throw something in the water here and it will end up in Southern California or, on the coast of Russia.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've been talking to these guys on the trip south, these guys who are kayaking on the trip south, and they say, there isn't a beach. There's really not a beach they find that doesn't have some debris on it. And, I have lots of friends that work in these different areas and throughout the world, that's the big change that's happened in the last 50 years or so on otherwise pristine
beaches.
There are
no pristine beaches anymore,
It's this amazing thing that we're all responsible for, and it's really great that the Coastal Code helps us do that little part of taking a responsibility of it. So tell me how people can get involved if they want to get involved in this thing that's happening on Saturday.
Okay, so this weekend, we're doing our local contribution to International Coastal Cleanup Day. It's this Saturday from 9 to 11. We've invited any group, organization, company, whatever. If you'd like to claim a beach and say, I want to tackle DuPont Beach, we're going to go out there and make sure it's clean. Give me a call, and we'll get you registered and get you outfitted with bags and gloves. You can contact me at the brewery, 780-5866. Or if you just want to go out and be part of the public cleanup, come down to Sandy Beach. There's always plenty of trash to clean up down there. So we'll be posted up with coffee and hot chocolate and bags, gloves, and then, of course, these important data cards to collect all that information.
And you supply all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you go to this thing, you get outfitted with all this gear, basically, which is like a bunch of bags. Mm-hmm. You got one with you, right? Is that
it? Right
what here. Are these? Let me show me this bag. This is a big, kind of you know, a hefty bag, size bag, right? Is it 30 gallon or something like that whatever? Yeah.
I'm not sure on the precise gallonage.
Come on, Ashley. We want to know this stuff.
but we have regular trash bags, but also recycle bags so that we could separate the plastics and such from the actual trash. I also want to give a big thanks to Capital Disposal for donating the dump fees for all of this so that we don't have to pay the money to remove it. Yeah.
Tell me about some of the weirdest stuff that's shown up on Coastal Code Day.
Oh, my goodness.
What are some of the weird things that people have come up with? Are the heavy things or the gigantic things?
We always find, like, an engine block and, like, really remote. Like,
how do those float ashore?
Exactly. Engine block, lots of tires. There's always, you know, like, just on the, like, on the side of the road, there's always one shoe.
Yeah, I know. That poor guy. Yeah. With that one shoe gone.
weird stuff. I think the coolest thing that I found is when we participated in the cleanups out on the outer shores out in Yakutat is there's so much international debris. So you can find a plastic bottle from Japan and all, you know, again, Russia, all that kind of stuff that, you know, you're looking at it, you know, it literally traveled thousands of miles to end up on the shore and you're there to remove it.
Yeah, there it is, at the end of the line for that piece of trash. That's right. Well, Ashley Johnston from Coastal Code, one more time, just let people know how they can get involved with this cleanup that's happening on Saturday.
Sure. Come out Saturday, 9 to 11 at Sandy Beach to the public cleanup, or if you'd like to claim a stretch of beach for your company or organization, call Ashley at 780-5866.
Terrific. Ashley Johnston from the Alaska Brewing Company, and thanks so much to all the great things that Alaskan Brewery gets involved with, including public radio here. Always a big supporter of public radio. I want to give a shout out to all the folks who help with that as well. Ashley Johnston from the brewery and for Coastal Code Cleanup Day, thanks so much. We're going to go to Writer's Almanac next. Here's Garrison Keillor.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 13th of September, 2012. It's the birthday of the author and triathlete Meta Ivy Harrison, born Summit, New Jersey, 1970. Competed in her first triathlon in 2004 and won it. Did an Ironman competition in 2006. Meanwhile, writing novels for young adults, including The Monster in Me, Myra Mirror, and The Princess and the Hound. And her latest book, a modernization of Tristan and Isolde, called Triss and Izzy, published last year. It's the birthday of the composer and pianist Clara Schumann, born in Leipzig, Germany, 1819. Her parents, both musicians, her father taught her to play the piano. When she was 8 years old, she met the 17-year-old Robert Schumann, who fell in love with her. Meanwhile, she became a famous prodigy, making her debut at the age of 11. Her concerts all sold out. She won all sorts of awards. Critics compared her to Beethoven. Robert Schumann proposed to her, and though her father did everything he could to stop the marriage, they took him to court, and they were married on the eve of Clara's 21st birthday. She continued to tour and to perform, even as she gave birth to 7 children and raised them all, played her last concert in 1891, and died 5 years later at the age of 77. It's the birthday of Samuel Wilson, who was the original Uncle Sam. Born in Arlington, Massachusetts, 1766, he was a meatpacker in Troy, New York. He supplied beef to the army during the War of 1812, and he shipped it in barrels stamped with the initials U.S. to show that it was the property of the U.S. government. But his workers joked that it stood for Uncle Sam, which was Samuel Wilson's nickname. And in due course, people were referring to the government as Uncle Sam, who had never heard of Samuel Wilson. It was the cartoonist Thomas Nast who first drew Uncle Sam, put him in a suit with the stars and stripes, gave him a white beard, and it was James Montgomery Flagg who painted a World War I recruitment poster with Uncle Sam on it, pointing directly at the viewer and the words, "I want you for the U.S. Army." And it was on this date in 1848, a railroad worker named Phineas Gage working on a railroad bed near Cavendish, Vermont, using a tamping iron to pack explosives into a hole in a boulder. The explosives went off and drove a 43-inch iron through his head, and he survived. He lived for 12 more years, during which friends noticed dramatic changes in his personality. He became one of the most famous patients in neuroscience. Doctors became interested in mapping the brain. They noticed a link, in his case, between the frontal cortex and social inhibitions. His skull and the tamping iron are on display at Harvard's School of Medicine. Here's a poem for today by Philip Larkin entitled Days. What are days for? Days are where we live. They come, they wake us time and time over. They are to be happy in. Where can we live but days? Solving that question brings the priest and the doctor in their long coats running over the fields. Poem by Philip Larkin, Days, from his collected poems published by Frere, Straus and Giroux and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein hosting for you. We've got rain for the rest of today, rain tonight, tomorrow, but showers likely, and then cloudy skies and just a chance of rain on Saturday, so hopefully it'll clear up a little bit on Saturday. With me now on the phone from Sitka is Cindy Gibson, who's with Waddell & Reed in Sitka, and she's a certified financial planner. And Cindy, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Andy. Thanks for having me.
And you are going to be part of a Finances for Seniors workshop called Wise and Safe Investing, and it's going to be happening here in Centennial Hall on Saturday. So tell me a little bit about what people can expect at that seminar.
Yeah, sure. Well, kind of some background on that is that a few years back in 2002, when some of the brokers, dealers were fined by the Securities and Exchange Commission, they took all those fines, which was about $1.4 billion, and they created a trust called the Investor Protection Trust. And that trust funds nonprofit organizations to promote financial literacy around the nation. And AARP, which is an organization in Alaska that has some of the money from that trust, and they put together this Wise and Safe Investing workshop. And the really cool thing is that we think of AARP as for people who are seniors and over 50, but it's open to any age in the public. So anyone is welcome to attend, whether you're 15 or 105. So that's the nice thing.
That's a really exciting program to know that there's something small bit of good came out of all that terrible financial news that happened, and people can actually feel like they're making better investment choices, especially for seniors.
That's right, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about what some of the things that seniors typically have questions about when talking about investing and the kinds of things they have to deal with.
Oh, gosh, everything from what is an annuity to, should I put my money in a bank or where should I put my money and what does asset allocation really mean for me and how much should I be worried about the stock market? How much do I have to know about it?
Right.
And kind of the things that we'll be covering, it's an all-day class. It's from 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And there is a free lunch that's provided. So
hey,
there is no free lunches, but there's one there on Saturday.
There is such a thing as a free lunch. Yes.
There is. gosh, we're going to just be covering so much. It's kind of mind-boggling. We actually have to skim some of the book. But the folks come away with a nice workbook that's handed out as part of the class. And we cover everything from just getting started, just really some of the basics. What is your cash flow? How do you write down on a piece of paper what your net worth is and why that's important to know? It's kind of like your score. And then how do you figure out how to make it all work together to help you give you the best probability of achieving your goals?
And, I mean, I guess it's the same kind of things that everyone at every age deals with, but I think it must be that
right.
Seniors especially are much more focused towards making sure they're taken care of in retirement, figuring
yeah.
out how long investments need to all that kind of stuff and what risk they're
yeah,
willing
not,
to take, that sort of thing.
Yeah, not wanting to run out of retirement income in their lifetime because inflation has such a big impact on our income, and not wanting to experience any kind of fraud, you know, trying to be careful with their money and knowing how to trust people and what kind of due diligence they should be doing.
Is there a specific section you're going to be talking? It seems to me like, especially with internet and email and that easy access that people have to people's
yeah.
inboxes, is there
yep.
certain things you're going to be talking about, especially to seniors, to make sure they don't fall
yep.
into the realm of fraud?
We do. There's a whole section, a whole chapter on investment fraud and kind of the red flags, the things to look for, and kind of the schemes that are kind of typical. And when it sounds to be too good to be true, 99.9999% of the time it is. And you know, for a lot of us, it seems like, oh, geez, you know, I would never do something like that. But, you know, when you're by yourself and maybe it might be the first time you're making some of financial decisions on your own, maybe the spouse that was taking care of the money passed away, and you just don't know, and you begin to trust different people, and anyway, it happens, unfortunately.
Yeah, of course, that's what these people who run these frauds are counting on, is that for someone's going to have some trust and have
right.
You know, good intentions and fall into their grasp as a result. So that's great to know that that's going to
yeah.
be a part of it. Is there
yep.
anything else that typically people are, you know, that there's a focus on in the seminar? And people are interested
in? Well, gosh, we'll be covering everything from, you know, how to make sure that you have a financial plan or what that means exactly and how to put one together for yourself and how to define your financial goals and then kind of begin the beginnings of how to start to take the steps toward achieving those goals. It's kind of like building a house. So we help them just beginning with the blueprint. And then they've got all the lumber at home, and that's your savings account, your retirement accounts, those types of things. Just trying to help people figure out, okay, do I have enough lumber to build my dream home? And or that, you know, if you're in retirement, you've already got it all going, so you just want to make sure that your walls are going to be not falling down and your roof's not going to be leaking.
Seems to me like this is a seminar that even folks who aren't maybe seniors would benefit from. We've all got parents. We've all got
right.
you know, people that we know. Is that something you're encouraging as well?
Oh, yes. In fact, a lot of times seniors come with their children. Or siblings come together, and it's kind of a nice thing to do to go together with someone that you trust to kind of help you process it, because it's all like a whole new language. So there'll be a lot of things that will seem kind of familiar, but there'll be some new probably phraseologies and some new concepts.
Sure.
That people will be wanting to, you know, kind of absorb, and then it helps to have somebody else to bounce that off of after a couple of days, after you've kind of digested a little bit.
Well, it's called Wise and Safe Investing Workshop. It's happening mm-hmm. this Saturday. Starts at 9:30, and as you said, it's all day, but a free lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. Oh, and then you can come and go through the day. If you can't make it at 9:30, you want to come late, that's fine. If you need to leave before 4:30, that's fine. You'll get the workbook, and you can ask questions, and I just volunteer for AARP. I'm not affiliated with them in any way, and I like to do this because I think it's important that people talk about money and learn about it.
Is there a place people might be able to go online, that sort of thing, to see an agenda or find out more information on this?
They can email the presenter, the AARP, at ak@aarp.org. And that would be Daryl Rice or Chris Herman. Or they can call them toll-free at 1-866-227-7447. And if you want to register, you can do that tonight, you know, either through that email, which is ak@aarp.org. It's hard to say at AARP.
Right.
or that phone number, 1-866-227-7447. And you can call and say, yeah, I'm going to be there. So they're just, they like to know just so they have enough food ordered for lunch.
Great. Cindy Gibson, thanks so much for joining us. That's once again Wise and Safe Investing workshop, especially focused at finances for seniors. It's happening at Centennial Hall starting at 9:30 a.m. on Saturday. More information, you can email ak@aarp.org. Cindy, thanks so much.
Great. Thanks a lot, Andy.
Okay,
appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Mm-hmm. Bye now.
Help us kick off this season's KRNN Spotlight Series with a special singer-songwriter showcase on Wednesday, September 26th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Goldtown Theater. Join me, Angelina, your evening host, as we explore the music of local talent featuring Liz Snyder, Brooke Morgan, Dean Frank, and Irene Muller. Tickets are available online at krnn.org, the station, and at the door.
Classic dramas, a hit musical, a recent Broadway smash, and a world premiere. Perseverance Theater's 34th season, Oklahoma, Betrayal, Seminar, The Road Weeps, The Well Runs Dry, and Of Mice and Men. This season's plays take you on an amazing journey with stories of discovery, friendship, and love. Subscribe today for great savings, the best seats, and generous exchange privileges. For more information, visit PerseveranceTheater.org or call 463-TIXS.
Perseverance, one of the things we'll be talking about right now with Nancy DeCherney on Arts Up. I think they have a new play coming up, right?
It's opening night coming right up tomorrow. And I would have to say that I looked and they were down to 20 seats Thursday morning, this morning, for the opening night performance tomorrow. We got a couple of sellouts, and I'm just going to rub it in.
The okay. Diva one
the
is
Diva
sold
out.
Sold out the biggest room in town. I love it, man. I love that. You know,
But
so
they're
fun.
Saying do come to the door because, you know, people get ill or things happen and they don't
You can only hope that people will get ill.
That's not nice,
no.
Andy.
It's not nice.
But do show up because they'll figure out. And I think they might be looking for some volunteers. So give them go to their website. Check that out. Tonight we've got a movie out at the UAS Environmental Film Series. They're starting a little film series out there. This one is at 5:30. It's Wall-E. It's free. It's the Egan Lecture Hall. I think it's a cartoon of some sort.
Wall-E's a great movie. Yeah. And it has a real environmental message. The Earth has been laid barren, and Wall-E, the robot, finds the only little seed there that's growing. It's a very sweet story.
All right. So if you need something uplifting in this foggy, nasty day.
Yes. But let's get on to this weekend. It's such a big weekend, right?
If you just want to skip this weekend in Juneau, you could go over to the Sitka Fine Arts Campus Work Party, 8:30 tomorrow morning, leaving on a ferry. Go over to Sitka. They'll house you. You'll work on Allen Hall, and you'll come back on Sunday, and you'll just miss this whole thing.
Kind of amazing. Amnesia there. Yeah, that's terrific.
But, you know, it's nice to see Junoites going over and helping out in Sitka. It's great. Okay. Let's see. There's the Kimball Organ thing. There's the second Friday Teeny Hip Hop. 6 o'clock Friday night, it's the Whale Tail Dinner and Auction. The Whale Project is putting this on. And last I looked, there were not that many tickets left on this one either, like maybe less than 20.
The Whale Tails have been so fun to have around. They're just such a great project.
We're trying to get them to, like, home
get them out
on
the door,
in.
Yeah. That's right.
So if you've wanted one in your own home, this is your opportunity. But anyway, come on down. Lorraine Durr is cooking up a great dinner, and it's going to be a nice evening in any case. Morally Impoverished and The Canvas are doing something they're calling the Improject. And this is to help people who are interested in improv get on their feet, so to speak.
Get the basic building blocks for being an improver.
Yeah.
Fun.
And that sounds like it's Mountain Music Festival this weekend up at the Tram.
Yes. That is cool. That is a cool deal up there. Yeah.
They've got live music of all sorts coming. It's Friday night. It starts at 6 and then on Saturday. It's $15, even for people who might have a season pass, but you get all this music and stuff like that. So go on up there. Don't be dissuaded by the fog.
No.
Onward
fine.
Through the fog.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Right.
Okay.
Misty Mountain Music.
Mountain Music. Yes. I like that. At 6:30 and 9 p.m., the Roller Girls are showing Derby Baby. They're doing that at the Rockwell Ballroom. It's $10, and there'll be a little derby demonstration before each showing. So if you're interested in getting involved, and by the way, I have to say, next Friday morning is when the derby tickets go on sale.
Yes.
So there's a derby thing coming up on the 29th, and you know how that goes.
I know.
Really
I'll be there. I'll be there. I have a little TV gig going with that. Yeah,
okay,
it's going to be
so
fun.
So you have an in. Okay,
yes,
but
yes.
Not everybody does.
No.
So if you want tickets, they do go fast. 7 p.m., Breaking Ice for Arctic Oil. It's the first evening at Egan of the season. That's held at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall. Again, that's free at 7
o'clock. That sounds like a fascinating lecture about one of the first tries to break through the Arctic ice and the lessons that were learned from that.
I love it when we learn lessons.
Yes, absolutely. Sometimes they're hard lessons, though.
Yes. But good that we learned them. Classical guitar, Dan Hobson over at the Gold Room.
Oh, he's wonderful.
7
yeah.
o'clock. Yeah, he's working on a new CD.
Very cool.
Yeah, you get to be part of that. And as I mentioned, 7:30, opening night of Mice and Men. Sounds like it's going to be fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Great spread in the paper about that. There were not so many tickets left. At 8 p.m., it is the first of the Juno Symphony's 50th anniversary series with the Chamber Concert number 1.
By the way, I love that we're still on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still on Friday. This is busy weekend.
We're just very slow.
No. This is one of the busiest weekends I can remember.
Yeah.
There is so much quality, great stuff happening all weekend. So the symphony concert, on that one.
That's Mary Watson, Lisa Ibias, Sally Schlichting, and Sue Kazama. It's going to be beautiful. It is at Northern Light United Church. $15, go on. Then at 10 o'clock, it's the Great Alaska Bluegrass Band is at the Alaskan all weekend. Okay, now we can get to Saturday.
Let's go Saturday.
All right, 9 a.m., Pavitt Fitness and Health has a 8K and 1 mile run. It's a Southeast Roadrunners thing. Meet at the Brotherhood Bridge Trailhead. They suggest that you pre-register by calling Pavitt's. There's all weekend long an arts and crafts fair at Nugget Mall. Starts at 10 o'clock and goes till closing.
Great.
Both on Saturday and Sunday. That we're continuing the story yoga for kids at Rainforest Yoga. By the way, if you're a person who likes to do that Saturday thing, if your child likes to do that, it's canceled for this week. 1 o'clock is I love the juxtaposition of the next two events.
Let's do this.
1 o'clock is the recovery walk from Marine Park to Sandy Beach. It's sponsored by CERC. You can get more information at 465-4765. There's a potluck over there. There's everything. And also at 1 o'clock is the first annual Capital Brew Fest, drinking beer for charity.
I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say. I'll tell you what, that Brewfest is going to be a blast. That is really great stuff. Specialty Imports, I know, has lined up a whole bunch of really amazing things.
A lot of stuff coming through the
door. And then all kinds of Anchorage and exclusive Anchorage brews and stuff like that happening. So it's going to be really fun. Rotary is helping put that on. The benefits Rotary and Saga. So it's going to be great.
And there, food's going to be outdoors in the rain. So they're serving soup as near as I can tell.
Yeah.
I don't really
they got
know.
A tent. They
beer
got a,
soup.
They're going
yeah.
to hook up a tent to the back of the jack.
Me.
They say.
So it'll be fun. Anyway, both of those things are
not going to rain Saturday.
Okay, good.
That's my prediction.
That's a relief to hear because I'm getting sick and tired of it. Let's see again. This is music, the Misty Music, Mountain Music up at Mount Roberts Tram at 7 p.m. You want to talk about Rock the Vote?
Rock the Vote is happening over at Rockwell, which is upstairs at the Old Latinos, and Rendezvous has bought that, and now it's called Rockwell. It's an all ages, no alcohol event, and it's all about rocking the vote. We got three great live bands. There might be even some super group formations that happen there, a little secret stuff going on there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be just a lot of fun. And it's also.
Can you register to vote?
You can register to vote. I can even register you to vote. I'm a registrar.
Well, excellent
work.
I am.
Yes, I am.
And because we got an important vote coming up on October 2nd.
That's right.
And
yes.
then another big
The big one. Yeah, the biggie. Yeah. So you can register to vote. And you can also, there'll be representation of Democrats, Republicans, some candidates, all that kind of stuff will be there. Of course, there'll also be loud rock music playing at the same time. So I don't know if you'll be able to actually have much of an exchange, but it'll be nice to see them.
Yes. At least shake their hands.
Yes, that's Rock the Vote. It's happening. Right. So if you're 18-year-old or above and want to register to vote and find out more and just come on by, it'll be a blast. We're going to have a good time.
And if that's not for you, there's the Diva Cat Fight Throwdown.
Yes.
On Saturday, but that is sold out.
That's sold out, right.
Yeah.
Is there anything else on Saturday? Because we've only got about 15 seconds to go here.
The Mice and Men again, and then Sunday, and let's see what if there's anything really important that we need to talk about. The presentation of the UAS master plan is on Monday at 6:30. And there is something about Dolly Varden predator control plans. But basically, we got us a busy weekend, and I don't know what to tell you.
There you go. Well, you've already told us. You knew exactly what to tell us because you told us already. That's Nancy DeCherney from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Thanks so much. And that was Arts Up. Oh, mercy me. Well, thanks again for listening to another edition of A Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein. It's been a pleasure to bring it to you. Thanks to all of my guests, from coastal cleanups to arts to accounting to finances for seniors and, of course, divas as well. It's been a wonderful time here to bring it to you. Got rain for the rest of today, as we said, but maybe it's going to clear up on Saturday. That might happen. Coming up next, news from NPR.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear.